Ohayou gozaimasu. Or you say Ohio. Yeah, easy way to remember how to say good morning in Japanese is the state that begins with an O. There's Oregon, Oklahoma, and Ohio. So Ohio means good morning. Ohio? Good job. Okay. My name is Ken Mansell. My first wife is Vicky. No, this is my first wife. Vicky, stand up. Just finished 49 years working on our 50th year of marriage, and as of in October of this year, we will have completed 40 years in the country of Japan as missionaries. And so we're thankful to be able to be here this morning. This evening, we'll be giving a presentation of the ministry, and especially of why it's been so difficult to reach the Japanese for Christ. People do get saved, they do grow, do have pastors, and there is a Christian presence in Japan, but we're hoping, pray that this presentation this evening will give you more information of how to pray for the dear Japanese people. This morning, for a Sunday school lesson, what I'd like to do is, since we've been missionaries, 18 months of deputation before going to Japan, we've had a lot of missionary and church relationship experience, and so I want to just try to do a Bible lesson with you in this. If you open your Bibles, the book of Philippians. No sword drill and no candy. Sorry about that. I love sword drills. I want to know if the adults have the little markers, the little tabs stuff on there. No? Okay, good. Good job. I used to outlaw those when I was a youth pastor. You couldn't do the little tabs or the little marking type things when you did sword drills. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19, we have there are some special verses in this section, especially verses 13 and 19, that we like to pull out when we have a situation. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we use this verse when we are weak, okay? When we emotionally, physically, spiritually feeling weak, we like to pull this verse out and claim God's promise on it. And that's a good thing to do. And you need to have verses to grab onto when life smacks you up upside the head, okay? And it does that quite often. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that there are no exclusions there. And that's good, okay? But also verse 19, we have another verse we like to grab, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We use this verse when we need money or supplies. And it's good. Again, it's a great verse to pull out and say, yes, God can supply my need, okay? Sometimes, as we've learned in 40 years of Japan, what we think are needs, it's okay to suffer not having those needs. And I'll get to that a little bit as we go through this passage. But as missionaries, we've learned to suffer the lack of things. And that's okay. It's not to be something to be sorry for us about or anything like that. And we'll get into that. Now, what is the context? When you pull these verses out and you have memory verses like the great one that you're working on in Sunday school, that trio there of verses is really, really powerful. When you memorize verses like this, make sure you always look at the context. What are the verses that before and after? Who is speaking? Who are they speaking to? Because it gives a real credence or solidness to what the actual meaning is. So we're going to back up and look at the context. Now, quick quiz. Who is speaking? Who is writing this book to the Philippians? Okay, Paul. Who is Paul? Is he an electrician? He's an apostle, but he's also a missionary. That's his primary function. He is an apostle. He carries many hats that way because of the particular situation God put him in. But we usually look at Paul as a missionary because he went and started churches. He preached the gospel wherever he went. He was bivocational. He helped support himself as he went along there. But he also had help from churches also. And so Paul the apostle, Paul the missionary, is writing to who? The first church in Philippi. Who started the church in Philippi? Okay, Paul did. Okay, remember in Acts we have the account where Paul is in what is present day Turkey, and he's been preaching in different areas, and he's seeking God's will for the next place to preach the gospel. And he says, "Okay, Lord, do I go north up into Russia and in that area?" And God said, "No. Do I go east out into India and out that way?" God said, "No." God said, through a vision, "Go over to Macedonia." A vision of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." So Paul immediately heads that way. That's a good pattern to get into. When God says go, go. Okay? And so he went over there. At the dock in Macedonia, did a man meet him at the dock in Macedonia? No. When he went to the nearest city, Philippi, was there a synagogue with men waiting? "Oh, Paul, we've been waiting for you to come. God is willing to do it." No. There were ladies meeting by the river, pray. There's no man of Macedonia, folks. But God used that vision to have him go over. There are men that are saved there. Praise God. The flipping jailer is the first man that we know of that was saved in Philippi there. But Paul had this, he had Lydia, and then the Philippian jailer. Now, in your handout, I have some blanks for you to fill in if you'd like. If not, you can guess what they are later, I guess. First section, let's read through this. Let's just go begin here. Verse 10, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, the Word of God says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Now, missionary attitude toward supporters. This is how, I'm going to use this as a pattern, how missionaries ought to look toward their supporting churches. Number one, rejoice in the support given. Okay? The gratitude attitude is very, very important to have as a missionary, to rejoice in the support given. Paul says, "I rejoice in that you sent some stuff for my needs and for the people with me. It's exciting. It's encouraging. I am very, very thankful. I'm jumping up and down, and I have a great, great attitude, gratitude attitude toward you being able to do this." Okay? He had a positive attitude, and think positively. He had faith that the church was doing what it could. He said, "You gave this now, but before you lacked opportunity." Now, we don't know why the Philippian church lacked the opportunity to give support for Paul, but we've had experience as missionaries of having churches give us money and different supplies and things over the years, and God's been very good to us in that respect. We went to Japan in a kind of unique situation. Most missionaries go to Japan. They would spend nowadays between 3 and 7 years on deputation and get a lot of money and supplies and go over to a foreign country. For our particular case, we had a veteran missionary who was had seen too many missionaries come to Japan with a lot of American stuff and half of them leave within the first 4 years. And so his burden was to bring over a pair of couples or a group of three men to work together, share expenses, and for a very small amount of support. And once they proved their call, proved they could stick and stay, then to go back and raise the support they need. And the Lord was very good to us in that way. We're survivors in Japan because that veteran missionary risked 30 years of ministry on a rookie. Because a rookie, with all kinds of enthusiasm, can sometimes ruin a ministry just unwittingly because they think they ought to be able to do things. So we're thankful for that. But going back there, in Japan, I'm going to back up a little bit. We had a supporting church in Minnesota that wrote us and said, Brother Mansell, one of the major employers in our town left town. They closed down the business. And about half our church had to move to find jobs. And so we're not going to be able to send our support at this time. Now, if support doesn't come in, we don't worry about it as missionaries. But very few pastors will write you and tell you that they're not going to be able to send support for a while. But this pastor did. So I wrote back and I said, that's fine. You take care of the local ministry first. God will take care of us. Well, about 7-8 months later, no, it's almost a year later, in Japan you have car inspections every 2 years. And they run it between $1,200 and $1,500 to do that. I mean, it's not like an emissions schedule thing. It's a chunk of money. It's not inexpensive to have a vehicle in Japan. And we were in Japan for $700 a month in 1983. That didn't leave very much for saving for... that's when the mission board said you need to have $3,000 a month support to be in the country of Japan. And so with a family of five, my wife and three children, things are kind of tight, and that was good. We learned a lot of really good lessons that way. But this shock in, the inspection was coming up, and I didn't have the $1,200 for our vehicle. And I thought, well, what are we going to do? That church made up a year's support in one lump sum that not only paid for the inspection, but a tithe on top of that. If I'd had that money month by month, it would have been gone. That was God's savings plan. So when Paul says, I know, had a positive attitude, I know you wanted to help me out, but you lacked opportunity. Now, there's a difference between lacking opportunity and not taking advantage of an opportunity, okay? But lacking opportunity. But to have a positive attitude is very, very important for a missionary to have. As C, from verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Of course, C is contentment is a learning process. Contentment is a learning process. It's not necessarily something you're born with. It's something, contentment comes when you don't have what you think you need or you want, and you are content with what you have. Okay? And if you're not content, it's easy to go into coveting and jealousy. But if you have contentment in what you have, it's very important. It helps out. To learn, missionaries joke around, especially when they're on deputation or furlough, we go from state to state to state to state. And so whatever state you are, to be content. You know, whether it's Montana, Idaho, Minnesota, you know, you're content in whatever state you are. But that's it's a process, a learning process. And so especially if you get new missionaries that are just going out to the mission field, they are still learning to be content with what they have. I remember traveling in Washington many, many years ago, and I was flipping through radio stations trying to find a Christian radio station. And I found this one, and the radio person was interviewing a missionary wife. And the missionary wife was saying, you know, we went to this one church, and I was praying that God would supply someone to give me money or stamps so we could send out our prayer letter. They didn't have, of course, email in those days that way. And she says, I was praying that God would supply this, and no one gave us any money, and no one gave us any stamps, and I was so disappointed and so downhearted. And I thought, why? If God wanted to supply that need, he would have. Be content with what you have. It's okay to plan. It's okay to dream, to push, to look ahead. But when God gives you less than what you think you wanted or needed, as a missionary especially, it's very, very important for us to be content with that. It makes a whole big difference when you look at people in a church. You don't look at them like this lady did, all those people didn't supply what I wanted. That's why I read it, okay? Rather than, thank you, Lord, that I can trust you, that I'm going to get those stamps later on. Okay? So be content is a learning process. And as anything that you learn, playing basketball, guys, do you always does the ball always go in? No. Doesn't always go in. Do you give up if the ball doesn't go in? No. You continue. It's a learning process to be content. Okay. Dealing with lack and abundance, is based on knowledge of God's character. Verse 12. Lack and abundance. Verse 12 says, I know, he knows because he learned, both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Now, again, in 40 years of experience, I'll tell you that it is much better or much easier to lack than to be abound. Because when you lack, you're on your knees. If you don't have what you think you need, you're on your knees asking God to supply it. One of the first things that our point of faith that we had in Japan was we had a used electric typewriter that we used in college. And we got it out of Goodwill or something in the first place. And the electricity in Japan and electricity in U.S. are different. And within the first month, our old electric typewriter bit the dust. And that was our lifeline. No email, no internet situation. You typed out your prayer letter, and you send it off by mail, and it would arrive in the United States in a week or so. And so that was our lifeline. And our veteran missionary said this, here's a chance for faith. Don't tell anybody of your need for a typewriter. Just tell your Heavenly Father. Just pray. I said, okay, I can make a phone call. No, just pray. And so we just prayed. In those days, we got, once a month, we got a 3x5 card from a man named Mr. Gum in Los Angeles who did our finances, did our accounting for our finances. And the next month, one thing else the veteran missionary said, it has to be something out of the normal support. Ask the Lord for something out of the normal support. So I got that little 3x5 card at the end of the month. I looked at it, and there was a special gift that allowed us to buy a Brother Electric typewriter plus a tithe, okay? And that was a step. We lacked, and we learned to ask God for it. Since that time, by God's grace, in our prayer letters, we've only asked for finances for a specific need one time when we had an opportunity for matching funds when we were redoing our building. But other than that, we've committed to the Lord. This is our own personal decision, not necessarily what a missionary always needs to do. But our own personal decision was we were going to ask our Heavenly Father, and if someone called or wrote and asked us a need, then we would give them that need. In fact, several years later, we were working on a project. We had a group of interns. We've had about 25 college and high school missionary interns come in for the summer. And we were working on a project with three men. And I got this phone call. Vicki says, I have a phone call. And it was a man in Boston area that I knew had, last time we were there, he picked me up at his Lincoln Town Car and took me to a fancy restaurant. So I knew he had some money. And so he called and he said, Brother Mansell, the Lord's blessed me recently. Do you have any needs? And we had a list that we'd been praying through. So I gave him a need, about $150 need, and talked for just a little bit, fellowship for a little bit, and hung up and went back out to the intern young men, college young men. I said, now, if this type of man called you and asked that if we had any needs, what would you do? And so we had a really, really good conversation about that situation. Well, the next time we had our support check, found out that this man had sold, his father had an electric company, and he'd sold it. And here was a deposit for $10,000. I said, God, I don't need $10,000. Why did you supply this $10,000? So I set it aside. You know, I wasn't going to go out and buy a car or anything like that. God had taught me to deal with lack, and then the abundance, like this, God, because of the training that God had put us through, we set it aside. Within a year, one of our fellow missionaries needed to renovate a building, and so we started a rotating fund for our missionaries in northern Hokkaido to do renovations. And that has been a rotating fund for that purpose. In fact, I spent three years on that building, another 3.5 years on another building, going over Thursday, Friday, Saturday to help them remodel the building. But lack and abundance. One thing about abundance is I've gone through a cycle where I went when I had abundance, I discovered that I wasn't praying for my daily needs as much. And God convicted me of that. And so I started praying for my needs, even though I had the money in the bank or had the yen in Japan. That's just a process that I've gone through personally. E, from verse 13, confidence that Christ is the true source of strength and supply of the missionary, not the people in the supporting church. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. One tendency for new missionaries is, it was really difficult for me and a lot of other people, a lot of other missionaries. We first start out, you have this sense that you're going to a church begging for money. You go to the field. And that's not usually the attitude of the people in the churches. And that's not the attitude that I have, that the missionary wants. But our enemy kind of puts that on us, okay? And I, by the way, I do not like the missionary terminology that sometimes comes up. We fight that tooth and nail because we are here to serve, and whatever God supplies is good, okay, is satisfying. But the confidence in Christ as the true source of strength and supply. We try to teach our interns, and we try to practice ourselves as missionaries to praise God and thank people, because God uses people to supply our needs, okay? Thank God, praise God, and thank people. It's an attitude we try to do ourselves and try to teach the missionary interns that we have opportunity to teach. Now, moving on, after verse 13, the real key there is that Christ is the source of our strength and supply. We have church's attitude toward missionaries. Okay, now this is the first time I've been in this church. This month you're going to be your fifth anniversary. Praise God! And what is your attitude toward missionaries? I have no idea. I'm just going to look at the Word of God. Okay, be faithful and generous in support. Verse 14 says, notwithstanding, ye did well. Ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. You did good when you sent money and supplies to me. And as a church, if you are faithful in your support to your missionaries and generous in your support to missionaries, that is good. That is good. It's not something, you know, I'm not sure what type of missions system you have here. Many churches have given out of the general budget. Some have a faith promise situation. But to have a faithful and generous church support, it's a good thing to help and to communicate in that way. Now, the communication is also very important, both with email or asking about their needs, and we're going to get to that in the next section. But faithful and generous. And God has been very good to us to have some very faithful churches. On this trip, the Northwest, Montana, Idaho, Washington, and Wyoming, we have 1, 2, 3 churches that have supported us for all 40 years. Out of 6 churches we reported to, okay. My wife is going this one, watch. So, but we're thankful for that. Those faithful supporters. Be aware of the missionary's need. Verse 15. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. The Philippians were concerned. They were aware of the missionary's needs. They read the prayer letters. They read between the lines. They also inquired and found out what Paul needed. And don't ever be shy in asking a missionary what you need. Many times they will not say what they need. We're not shy. We're just cautious. Okay. It doesn't hurt a missionary. It doesn't hurt to have you ask a missionary what their needs are, and then read between the lines in the prayer letters and contact the missionary. Say, hey, how you doing? What can we do for you? Don't stop caring. If you don't get the benefits of support you expected, kindness that expects a reward is not love, it's business. Okay. Everybody has history. And sometimes, and you as a church will sometimes be burned by a missionary. Okay? You'll put out your heart into a missionary, and that missionary may go off the rails in many different ways, okay? But if you expect one thing out of a missionary and you don't get it, don't let it close your heart off. Okay? As a church. Be aware of the missionary's need, and then don't stop caring. Verse 16 says, for even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity. Verse 17, rewards are in the future. Not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. How is your, as a church, how is your account in heaven toward missionaries? As individuals, how is your account in heaven toward this church, toward each other that God has given you opportunity to serve? The rewards are in the future. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your heart in your bank account or your house or your business, or is it in heaven? Number 3, results of good missionary and church relationships. In verse 18, says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to Paul. No, it says well-pleasing to God. This good relationship between missionary and supporting church, if it's done right, is well-pleasing to God. It's a sweet odor to God. And in our heart of hearts, that's what we want God to look at us, isn't it? We don't want God to say, oh, that church stinks. Oh, that missionary stinks. We want a sweet odor before God, a sweet reward for God. So rejoicing, how to do that? A, rejoicing and thanksgiving and thankfulness. Rejoicing and thankfulness. And B, God supplies all needs as a result of supporting the missionary. But my God, Paul says this to the Philippian church, my God shall supply all your need because you supplied mine according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Verse 19, I believe, is contingent upon how a local church deals with their missionaries. And so the last section there, these principles can be applied to Christians and those they support in local church ministries, for example, pastors and other church workers. These same principles, as you deal with people who give their lives to the Lord for service, if you deal with these same principles, you'll get that reward. Finally, I'd like to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, it's a verse you're familiar with, but I want to put it in the context of what we've been talking about this morning. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. The Word of God says, I have showed you all... Acts 20:35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Those of you who have given from the heart, whether it be tithes and offerings in this church, missionary giving, both money, places to stay, meals, all kinds of different things that you've done for missionaries and God's servants, and have done it from the right heart attitude, you understand this passage. It is a joy to give. It is a blessing to give. Many years ago, we were in a small work that was just starting. They were meeting in the pastor's garage, and we had a very simple meal with the pastor beforehand, and there's 3 or 4, 5, 6 kids, you know, and you could tell that they were struggling financially. And I before this the service, it was a Wednesday night service, I remember, and before the service, I said, you know, pastor, I know, look, you're just starting this church, and I know you're struggling financially and stuff, so we just want to be a blessing. Please don't worry about any kind of love offering. The pastor just looked at me and said, okay. So the people started gathering in their just simple benches in this garage and sitting down. Pastor got up to introduce me. He says, hey, folks, this missionary Mantell, he came here to steal from us. I go, what? I'm sitting there. Steal from us. And he said that we shouldn't give him a love offering. Boo! I've never been booed in a church before. They were booing me because I had dared to try to steal their blessing. And it was a lesson to me. Those folks were looking beyond themselves to the world. And they saw us as a way to be blessed from God. And so, I'm not going to boo you, and I hope you don't boo me, because the blessings go both ways. And as we've grown in the Lord and had opportunity, we've learned how to give, had opportunity to give to others through the generosity of other people too. And so, missionary relationship, church relationship, I trust that you'll look at Philippians chapter 4, especially those two verses, a little different from now on as we do that. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, so much for you and yourself. Thank you that you first gave to us, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. You commendeth his love toward us, that Christ died while yet sinners. Thank you, Lord God, for that salvation. Father, thank you, Lord, for this short opportunity to share your word this morning in Sunday school. And Father, pray that you bless these folks as they continue to open in their hearts, continue to serve, continue to love you and love the people that you have put in their lives around them. And Father, may we glorify you each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.